When you become a Christian, your first week, 2 weeks, a month, 3 months, everything's by feeling. And then all of a sudden, feeling is gone, and now God says, okay, now walk by faith. And that's the hardest to do, because we feel like, well, the Lord departed from my life. What brings me comfort is reading His Word and praying and watching God work in the lives of people to know that He's real.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Well, Happy New Year. We're glad you've joined us on this first day of 2026 to celebrate Jesus' amazing love. Concluding our series in the Song of Solomon, Roel will assure us that Jesus rejoices in us like a husband rejoices in his wife. He desires for you to live in close fellowship with Him as you walk by faith wherever He leads, pointing others to His love along the way. Here's Roel Reese in the Song of Solomon.
The Song of Solomon, you have to understand one thing, or the Song of Songs. It is an allegory of Jesus Christ and His bride, His wife. Who's His wife? We are His bride. We are His wife. He is our bridegroom. He is our husband. Imagine what it's going to be like to be with Him in eternity. In eternity. When the bride of Christ, the next event with the bride of Christ is going to be the transformation or the harpazo or the taking away of the church, which is called the rapture of the church. And the reason that He's going to do that is because the Lord is going to take His bride to the supper of the Lamb. To the supper of the Lamb. Where we will be presently with the Lord and He will be serving us. And we're going to be gathered together. Notice 7 years of hell, 7 years up there of peace, joy, no more tears, but being in the presence of Jesus Christ. Being in His presence, which to me, it is just an incredible thing. And then here in the book, we see the amazing love that Christ has for each one of us individually. That's why in John 3:16 He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He says, the whole world can be loved by Me, but those that come to Me, I will love them personally. The love of God is that you and I will not go to hell. The love of God is that we will come to repentance by faith, accept Him, and live a life of obedience for Him, so that one day we can rule with Him forever and ever. And so we see here this bold description of the bride, the church, and Himself. And it's cool how He describes his church like a beautiful bride. Let's begin by looking at chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. Now the beloved is Christ. He says, how beautiful are your feet and sandals, O princess daughter. The curves of your thighs are like jewels, and the work of your hands of a skillful workman. We notice here that the bold description is not only of His bride, but how much He looks at His bride and what He thinks of His own bride, which is the church of Jesus Christ. Another thing that I see is that the bridegroom here, in the first 9 verses of chapter 7, He tells how He delights in His church. He delights in you. He delights in me. And the reason is because He loves us. And then we see that the Holy Spirit is answering questions that poses the previous section when we were in chapter 6 last time. It is cool because in the section here that He's going to speak to us, again, the bride in Christ, it reveals not only the power of the Holy Spirit behind the church. Imagine how God Himself, sending His Son, Jesus Christ, He departs and goes to heaven, and we could have been here without anything, but He left the Paracletus, the Holy Spirit. The one that convicted you, the one that convicted me and drew me to salvation in Jesus Christ. And even though we have the Holy Spirit today, look at how many people don't want Christ. They don't have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And He's speaking to the church. the bride of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit always wants to reveal the mind of himself, the mind of God, not only in our personal lives. But the description that he gives here, the first thing he mentions is the feet. And he says, oh, prince, daughter. He speaks of the noble origin of his bride, who his bride is. And she is one of many royal households. That's what he's talking about here. In the Bible here, the shoes clearly refer to the gospel of peace, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. So the description that he gives here, you can look at it as a husband and a wife describing. But to us as Christians, it is a picture of Jesus, the husbandman, and we are his bride. And that's why he says in verse 1, how beautiful are your feet in sandals, O prince of daughter. The curves of your thighs are like jewels, and the work of your hands of a skillful workman. And then he starts here. Notice the emphasis here. Again, the thighs speak of the power that we stand in Christ. And then in verse 2, look what he says. Your navel is as round goblet. It lacks no blended beverage. Your waist is a heap of wheat set about with lilies. So the navel here and the belly are referring to the man's inner being. The beverage here refers to the blood of Jesus Christ, symbolically. Now remember, the way he takes the song here, if we're looking at it in a biblical way, at Christ and his bride, then he says this, the heap of wheat refers to his flesh, who he is. And the mixed wine refers to the life that the Holy Spirit gives through the blood of Jesus Christ to each one of us, not only forgiveness, but he empowers us. He empowers us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here tonight. Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone told you about Jesus Christ. And when you heard it, you accepted it or you rejected it. But you accepted it. That's why you're here tonight. Then he says in verse 3, the bridegroom speaking again. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins as the guest Leah. He says the two breasts here refer to the ability to feed others, the word of God. How does Christ feed you? Through the word of God. That's what he talks about here, the ability to feed others. And then he says, twins as a gazelle, faith and love are here in this verse too. That the measure and power which we can feed others, when people see our lives, they see our faith and they see the power of the Holy Spirit within each one of our lives. As we stand true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then again, the bridegroom speaks. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes like the pools of Heshbon by the gate of Bathrimmon. Your nose is like the tower of Lebanon, which looks toward Damascus. Lebanon is up here. Damascus is over here in the map. And here again, the neck is like the tower of David. The tower here is a tower of ivory, which speaks of the suffering and the dying and accomplishment of God's purposes in our lives. The eyes here refer to one that is pure in heart before God. And that's what the church is. One that is pure in heart before the Lord, fully and completely. God desires that from the church. And yet, think how the church today is misrepresented. And the church has become stained by sin. I mean, if we're living in the last days and Christ is truly coming again, wouldn't you as a bride prepare yourself? In the Old Testament, when Christ came and the New Testament was being put together, when he speaks of the parables, he says in Israel, what they would do is, like, say you're a husband, you're going to be a husband and you got your bride. The weddings, the way it worked is that the husband meant what he would do is get a runner. And he would run down when he was getting ready to come for his bride. He would run down day, afternoon, or even in the evening. And he would say, behold, the bridegroom is coming. And everybody would get up and flick their lamps and get ready. The bride would get ready. The guests would get ready. They didn't know what hour or time he would come, but they would be ready. And then when he would come, they would meet him and she would meet him, and then they would come together as husband and wife, and they would party for 7 days. 7 days they would actually come together and celebrate their wedding. Does that sound familiar? The bride of Christ at the rapture of the church would go to the supper of the Lamb for 7 years. It's a picture of things to come. the bride of Christ. And if we truly are living in the last generation, then why is it that people are not listening? There's no fear. No fear that God is going to come soon. And yet, we need to understand that if the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, then we need to have holy lives and lives that are not displeasing to Him. No compromising. No compromising our lives, but stand true to Him. So that He can bless you, so He can touch you, so He can use your life. And then in verse 5, He says, His eyes here is pure, the heart of God. Then in verse 5, your head crowns you like a Mount Carmel, and the hair of your head is like purple. Thy hair speaks of the power of what? Consecration of my life to Christ. I love that. Consecration of my life to God. Then He says, how fair and how pleasant you are, O love, with your delights. The Lord here continues His conversation with His bride. Here, His burning desire for the Shumalite woman is who? The church. The desire that Christ has for each one of us individually. It would be like the desire that I have for my wife. Christ is our, what, husbandman, and we are His bride. Imagine how much Jesus loves you, how much He loves us, and yet we don't deserve that kind of love. And yet He gives us that love. The problem with the church many times is the church, like the church of Ephesus, even though Christ loves the church of Ephesus, they had, what, left their first love. They had left their first love. Not lost it, they left it. You have a will. A will to choose to love God and to serve God and to do whatever He says, or you have a will to displease Him or to say, I'm not going to do it, Lord. And at the same time, you can say, you know what? I want nothing to do with you, Lord. The church that He talks to in the book of Revelation chapter 2, Ephesus, He says what? I love everything you do except one thing. You have left your first love. Return, repent. If not, I'm going to go somewhere else and work. I think that that would fit today in the church. The church has left their first love. There's no excitement in the church today, in the bride of Christ. This bride here is so excited that her bridegroom is coming. She wants to hear Him. She wants to be embraced by Him as Christ embraces His church.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Don't forget, we're committed to helping you ground your heart and life in the rich truths of the Bible. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for a wealth of resources. You can also download our free app for live-streamed Bible teaching, digital Bible studies, and much more. Now back to more with Raul Reese.
Check this out, what he says, verse 7. He says, the stature of yours is like a palm tree, and your breast like its cluster. So the palm tree here represents that she has a stature in the fullness of Jesus Christ. He is all to me. Verse 8. I said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take a hold of its branches. Let not your breast be like clusters of the vine, the fragrance of your breath like apples. In verse 9, and the roof of your mouth like the best of wine. So here the Lord wants to have fellowship. With who? With the church, the believer. And then the Shumalite, the church, says this. The wine goes down smoothly for my beloved, moving gently in the lips of sleepers. So at this point, the maid is able to continue where the Lord left off because she is so one with the Lord that they never broke that fellowship. They never break that fellowship. Think of how many in the church today have broken fellowship with God. We call it backsliding. Broken fellowship with God. How many times in a marriage you see that? In a marriage. It seems the longer you're married, not the closer you get, you start separating the furthest. Not only because you know each other, but that's the way Satan uses people's marriages. And it's sad because who sees it is your grandkids. Your children see that. Instead of drawing close together in your old age, knowing that your days are short, just like Christ, the way He gathers unto us. Think what it would be like if every husband and every wife would practice what Christ says to us even in this book. Loving, caring, sharing, coming together and honoring their marriage, just like Christ honors his own marriage. And then he says this, verse 10, I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. Notice her attention is drawn to who? To the Lord Jesus Christ, her beloved. We notice that she says all she needs to say about who? About her beloved in this verse, which speaking of Jesus Christ. He is everything to me, and that's the way it should be. Why do we need something else apart from Christ? He's everything. That's why so many people that come to Christ and they're dissatisfied, they don't think that Jesus Christ can fulfill everything in their lives, and he can. In the world, you're constantly hungry for many things. But when you come to Jesus Christ, he brings true spiritual satisfaction. True satisfaction. And that's the way it should be within every marriage too. Wives should be loved by their husbands, and the husband loving his wife, and coming into that place together, not only where they love each other, but they're a witness, a testimony to people that are around you, that see you. And then they can give the glory and the honor to God. Verse 11 says, come, my beloved, let us go forth to the field. Let us lodge in the villages. So she invites her beloved now. Notice that. She wants to go back to the simple things of life as she's inviting her beloved to come. Lord, I miss you. Come. Come and be with me, Lord. How many times do we feel like the Lord has moved away from us? And then it's a step of faith, because what the Lord does, he doesn't depart from you, but he wants you to grow. He wants you to develop spiritually. One thing about new Christians, and when you become a Christian, your first week, 2 weeks, a month, 3 months, everything's by feeling. And then all of a sudden, feeling is gone, and now God says, okay, now walk by faith. And that's the hardest to do, because we feel like, well, the Lord departed from my life. What brings me comfort is reading his word and praying and watching God work in the lives of people to know that he's real. Because if we don't believe that, then what do we believe in? God is a spirit, and those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's not going to show himself to you. Why should he? He already came and he died and he went to heaven. And what did he do? He left the Holy Spirit for each one of us individually, to comfort us, to make us one with him. So here in verse 11, she's again inviting her beloved. Verse 12, notice this. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine has budded, whether the grapes blossoms are open and the pomegranates are in bloom. There will I give you my love. So here the church invites Christ to the fields of the world. Notice what he's saying. To share in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think of how many in the church never share their faith. Never. I mean, we don't want you to raise your hand, but when is the last time you led someone to Christ? It's a whole world of lost people. But how many of you at work, by being an example, by being light, when they have a situation, a problem, they'll come to you because they see you come on time. They don't see you taking extra breaks. You don't steal from the company. You work overtime. And then what do? They see the consistency, and then they come to say, hey, listen, what do you have that I do not have? And then you can say, Jesus. He's the one. He's the one that maintains me. He's the one that gives me everything. So here Jesus is speaking again. And let me ask you the question. What kind of fruit do you have in your life as a Christian? That's what he's talking about. What kind of fruit? The greatest fruit that we can have is what? Love. Loving people. Loving God. Loving his word. Loving people that are not in the kingdom of God. Loving them into the kingdom of God. And yet, how we need this love in our own personal life every single day. Because we get angry at people, we get bitter toward people. Think of how many people hold anger in their hearts for loved ones and friends and even their children. Think of families that hate each other. And when it comes to Christmas, Easter, whatever it is, they don't even talk to each other. They don't even get together. Who suffers? The kids. The cousins between each other because their parents don't talk to each other. It's so important that we understand that God wants us to forgive. And he wants us not only to forgive, but he wants us to love people and to love him. Just like he loves us, he wants us to love them. Why? Because love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And yet the greatest love of all loves is what? Agape. Agape. A love that no matter how many times people step on you, you keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving, and you never retaliate with anybody like that. That's agape love. And then verse 13. The mandrakes give off fragrance, and at our gates are pleasant fruits. All manner, new and old, which I have laid up for the bridegroom, my beloved. So here the fresh love of the bride for her bridegroom is demonstrated. This is not only for married couples, you know, that are drifting away, but at the same time, the repentance and coming back and loving one another. Remember, Paul the Apostle talks in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He talks to a couple of husband and wives. That if there's any problem in your life, then there's a time of separation, okay? To pray and to fast. To pray and to fast concerning your problem. To come to a solution. And that solution is what? Humbling yourself. Who's going to humble themselves? Who's going to say, I'm sorry first? And then when that happens, when both people are broken, then that love can be consumed once again. Once again. And imagine if Jesus Christ did not forgive you. But anything that you do, what does he do? Over and over and over again, he forgives you. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you so much that he's not willing that anyone should perish, but all should come to repentance in him. Chapter 8, the last chapter. He says, oh, that you were like my brother who nursed at my mother's breast. If I should find you outside, I would kiss you. I would not be despised. So here the bride continues to speak. This is the bond between the bride and the husband, Jesus Christ. That's the kind of bond that we should have with Christ. Like a husband and wife. Notice what it's saying here. Again, oh, that you were like my brother who's nurse at my mother's breast. If I should find you outside, I would kiss you. I would not be despised. The love that we should have for Jesus, even though we don't see him, we should love him fully and completely. Verse 2. I would lead you and bring you into the house of my mother. She who used to instruct me, I would cause you to drink of spiced wine and of juice of my pomegranate. Notice that. So here, our part to give Christ the best entertainment in our power, he deserves that he is the best. Just like a wife, she is the best. Christ is the best. The problem in marriages is that the husband is never the spiritual leader. You men are supposed to lead in your home as the spiritual leader of your home in praying and reading the gospel of Jesus Christ to your wife and to your children. That's what God desires. That we would solve all these problems on our knees before the Lord.
As you set your goals for this new year, we encourage you to prioritize daily personal time with Jesus, fellowshipping with him through the Word and in prayer. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson from the Song of Solomon, chapters 7 and 8, can be yours in its unedited form for a donation of $5 or more. To get a copy, just call us at 800-634-9165. We'd also like to offer you an inspiring book from Rawls' late wife, Sharon, titled My Husband, My Maker. Providing a personalized look at a life that's fully devoted to God, this autobiography explores Sharon's choice to entrust her family and her future to God in the rocky years before Rawls came to Christ. Sharon's story will challenge you to trust God's perfect plans for your life as you walk in step with Jesus. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 To order My Husband, My Maker, we'll send your copy for $10 plus shipping and handling. That's 800-634-9165. Or write to Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Visit the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel for live-streamed Bible teaching and podcasts of all of our radio programs. You'll also find Straight Talk with Raul on this channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time. Thank you for your partnership in this listener-supported ministry. Your gifts enable us to keep sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's been great to kick off the new year with you today, and we encourage you to join us next time for a special program featuring Straight Talk with Raul. Outlining the God-given call on a pastor's life, he'll urge you to seek the Lord's leading for your life in the days and months ahead. That's next time on Somebody Loves You Radio. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.